Sarah Overholt. I am presenting on behalf of Michelle Montero, who is the person in your program. Let me know if this is getting to be an annoying sound. And I need to announce that I have no conflicts of interest to report. I'm going to be presenting a description of four of our rural health programs throughout our national network, and these four programs are partially funded by Santa Fe Aventis. In rural areas throughout the United States, there are some amazing unmet healthcare needs and also some incredible barriers to care. First among many is, of course, poverty. The second is always the lack of insurance or underinsurance in these populations, and there are some statistics here that I'm sure all of you are very familiar with. Another major barrier of care, and one that we're very interested in at CHF, is the distance and distribution of populations from healthcare providers and health centers, and also the lack of transportation. In October of 2006, in conjunction with the Marist College Institute of Public Opinion, the Children's Health Fund undertook a health survey that found that only 25% of rural communities have access to any kind of public transportation, and that annually this contributes to approximately 3 million children missing at least one healthcare appointment due to lack of transportation. Another major access disparity is, of course, the shortage of healthcare professionals. 25% of Americans live in rural communities, and only 10% of physicians practice there. Sorry about that. Retention and attraction of physicians are major issues, as well as the sustainability of practice in pediatric care, the fact that it's a very targeted population and it's difficult to get them to where you want to treat them makes sustaining a pediatric practice, or often any type of primary care practice, difficult to sustain. Another, all of these access barriers contribute to incredible health status disparities. There are lower immunization rates, delayed prenatal care, higher infant mortality, higher rates of obesities, and higher prevalences of dental caries. And these are all just incredible issues in pediatric populations and rural communities that we see every day throughout our network, but most particularly in our rural projects at the Children's Health Fund. The Children's Health Fund operates all of our programs, rural, urban, and suburban, off of the medical home model, which the AAP defines as gives characteristics as care that is accessible, continuous, comprehensive, family-centered, coordinated, compassionate, and culturally effective. The most important and perhaps most defining aspect of a medical home from the Children's Health Fund perspective, and in particular for our rural projects, is that a medical home is not a place. It is a system of care where you can plug in the resources that you have available to you and really take into consideration the needs of the population that you're serving, which in rural areas, depending on where you are, can really vary from oral health care or dental care being the major need, to mental health services, to special child health care needs, to any number of other particulars of a given population. I'm just going to skip ahead one slide. This is a small description of what the Children's Health Fund is. We have 21 programs and a total of 28 mobile medical units in 13 states and the District of Columbia. Four pediatric MMUs operate solely in rural communities, and we have one mobile dental unit, and hopefully more to come, that will operate in rural counties. We have another five pediatric MMUs that operate out of suburban or urban centers, but regularly serve populations in rural communities. And we've recently reconfigured two mobile medical units to serve as mobile mental health units. I think our technical terminology, in order not to scare anybody away, is community support and resiliency units, since mental health often gives people the willies. One of the major characteristics of our projects is that our mobile medical units are really designed to be fully functioning physician or nurse practitioner-led medical homes, meaning they coordinate and provide all the care that they're able to. They provide 24/7 access coverage. They coordinate every level of care. So this isn't drive-by care. It's not just health promotion. These are meant to function as actual clinics. And listed up here are just a few of the things that we do and a few of the things that are plugged in at all of our projects throughout the country. Literacy, health education, materials, coordinated assistance with transportation, and in particular, electronic health records. This is an example of one of our mobile medical units. In fact, this is our Idaho mobile dental unit. It's on a 38-foot chassis, if that means anything to anybody in this room. And it has two operatoriums, and it operates with a pediatric dentist and two dental hygienists. And I'll talk more about this project in a moment. This is a diagram of what the insides of our mobile medical units look like. And actually, this is a slightly older model. We've now started building our mobile medical units on a bigger scale. This one in the back, I don't know if any of you guys can tell, but it has two clinic rooms and a nurse's station for immunizations. And our current configuration of mobile medical units have three clinic rooms and a nurse's station and immunization area, plus that waiting room and registration area in the front. This is one of our sites. This is the Mississippi Clarksdale Children's Health Project van, and this is one of their regular sites. They visit this site on a bi-weekly basis. It's a Baptist church. And this is getting really into the meat of it. I'm giving you guys a brief description of our four rural health projects. Mississippi Clarksdale is located in the Mississippi Delta region. The delivery model is a combination of pediatric, mobile, fixed site, and school-based clinics. It's connected to the Aaron E. Henry Health System, and it really draws on those school-based clinics and other areas to really draw pediatric populations together so that you really have a critical mass of pediatric patients so that you can deliver care in an efficient and effective way. Primary barriers to care at this site, reported anecdotally from our projects, are transportation, uninsured and underinsured patients, and limited health literacy and knowledge, which for our purposes today means that patients do not or cannot prioritize care either due to lack of knowledge or because there are just other urgent matters in their life, housing, food, any number of family crises that might be taking place that just really don't allow them to think about why preventive care for their child or for their family might be an effective way to deal with some of those issues. You tend to see these patients, particularly in this project, a lot in the ER and in the emergency department instead of accessing regular primary care. And the primary health risks seen in this population are obesity, asthma, teen pregnancy, and poor prenatal care. We also operate the West Virginia Children's Health Project. It's located in Huntington, West Virginia, and is partnered with the Marshall University School of Medicine. The delivery model at this site is school-linked, which is a slight difference from school-based, meaning that schools maybe just have a nurse. They don't have a fully functioning health clinic inside of the school, but we take our mobile medical unit to the school, giving us a critical mass of pediatric patients and improves the access of those pediatric populations to care because we're really taking it to them. This site also experiences a lot of similar barriers, transportation, low population density, limited health literacy in a variety of areas, particularly dental and oral health care, and other needs that are prioritized above health care. And the primary health risks, as here, are obesity, poor oral health, and asthma. The Arkansas Children's Health Project is located in Lee County, Arkansas, and is operated in coordination with the Lee County Cooperative Clinic, That's an FQHC. This is also in the Mississippi Delta region. It is also a school-linked mobile clinic, which again brings patients that are in a very geographically dispersed areas to a central location, gives us a critical mass of patients, and helps bridge those transportation barriers to care. A lot of similar barriers and primary health risks, but in this area in particular, is low immunization coverage, obesity, and developmental and behavioral issues. Another issue that's not up here that's really sort of emerged as we're working more closely with Arkansas Children's Health Project is really there's very little access to any kind of pediatric subspecialty care, and this project is having facing a lot of challenges helping their patients access it because really there isn't anything close by. So in early 2008, we're going to be beginning a partnership with the Le Bonheur Children's Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee, which will have a mobile unit, but that mobile unit will also work with the Arkansas Children's Health Project and the Mississippi Clarksdale Project, and the specific aim will be to take subspecialists to those areas to really help them bridge the subspecialty access issue, since we're doing okay right now with the primary care access issues and at those projects. And finally, this is the Idaho Children's Health Project. It's located in Twin Falls, Idaho, with the Family Health Services Health System, I think. It's also an FQHC. They have a variety of clinics throughout southern and central Idaho. And what they really discovered after years of operating a mobile medical clinic for pediatric patients was that their biggest need wasn't actually primary health care. They had that pretty well covered, and patients knew where to find them, and they were out in enough places that people could get to them, and they could provide transportation in other ways other than a mobile medical unit. What they really didn't have access to was oral health care. So we converted their mobile medical unit to that mobile pediatric dental unit that you saw a few slides ago, and now their pediatric mobile dental home is connected to their fixed-site clinics, and the primary care practitioners and the oral health practitioners, dental care practitioners, really work together to make sure that pediatric patients are plugged in both to a medical home and also to a dental home so that they get routine, continuous, comprehensive oral health care as much as possible. At the moment, we just have some cumulative utilization data, which just basically gives you an idea of the scope of the issue and our capacity to kind of really see patients and see what's going on in these communities. The next step and the next issue that we're definitely facing at the Children's Health Fund is how do you take that need that you know is there and that capacity that you know we have and translate it into what's working, what are our impacts, what kind of a difference are we making in these rural communities. And in conclusion, we'd really like to continue our work in this area, building medical homes in rural areas, expand our expertise in rural healthcare, and also really start exploring meaningful methods and meaningful measures of pediatric rural health care so that we can really begin to evaluate the effectiveness of what we're doing and share it with others. Thank you.